I wanted to talk about strength, and what are you doing in fasting is developing spiritual strength, that you fellowship and communion with God, because while you're giving up something that's pleasurable, something of human necessity, something that, you know, you take pleasure in, or something that's required of us to do, to be sustained, you substitute it to God, communion with God, thinking and praying on God, to God, and you start realizing in His Word that man does not live by bread alone, and that His Word is actually what sustains us. As you get a little bit older, you find out that it's got people, even though they have an appetite, food don't do them any good sometimes. Their body's not digesting it. It's the will to live. It's a spirit that God puts in us. And that spirit, we want it to join with God's spirit and grow. That's what gives us. That's why when we are born again, He says, you have eternal life. We have it as of that period of time. And if you read in Daniel about the children of God growing stronger and stronger, so it's not of necessity the food that strengthens them. It's assimilating the Word of God into you. It's like the woman at the well. He said, if you'd ask me, I'd give you water. Well, you wouldn't ever thirst again. And she wanted that water. You see, these things of the physical life, God had just put here. But that's not, that's temporal. In other words, that's temporary. In the next life, where we all have spiritual bodies, and will we all look unto Jesus. So if we look at fasting is not just giving up food. Most fasts require, you know, sustaining from food and drink. Now, throughout the years, they didn't change actually what fasting, how it means or whatever. But it's actually, if it's just an idea of giving up food, that's a diet, really. You know, especially the way people have it during times of, which is not biblical, Lent or whatever, giving up of certain items or whatever. So they have different type fast or whatever, and that has morphosized over the period of time. It is morphed into something in which, and if you look at the Old Testament, fasting in connection is in connection with prayer, penitence, and preparations for new ventures has been practiced from early times in many cultures and religions. In other words, if you're getting ready to do something new, a new job, or when the New Testament church was about to select the leaders or the elders or the deacons, or they're about to going off on a missionary journey or something, they would fast and pray that God would be with them and strengthen them in that. That's why before making big decisions of buying something, well, after you fast, after you get so close to the Lord, you'll see why it says with prayer and supplication, let your requests be known to God, because you even pray for the small things. But that's a spiritual growth. But most of the time now, fasting comes when you about to make a big ask. In other words, you're asking for something big or something memorable or something gigantic or some task you figure is too gigantuan for you. But as we go along, that's why Paul says he's been in fasting often. As we go along, we'll see Jesus Christ has said, without me, you can do nothing. There's nothing we can do without Christ. So it is Christ coming alive in us, is strengthening in us, and Christ increasing in us in the same mind that was in us that Deacon read in Philippians, that it's in Christ Jesus. We're trying to let that mind come to surface to remove us from the physical aspects of life. Listen to 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, let's start at the 26th verse. It says, in journeys often, this is Paul, he was boasting here. He was trying to show them of what he was going through, had been through. But he says, I'm in journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. Like all of us, maybe not to the extent of Paul, but we have problems everywhere. But Paul's problems was coming because of the gospel, because of preaching and walking in the gospel. And that led Paul to a different type of life that brought him closer to Jesus. And I can see that's what's going to bring us closer to God. That's why I say fasting is voluntary. It's a voluntary thing. Even though churches and some organizations would set up fasting, whereas they would maybe designate a day that the church would be on a fast if they wanted to do corporate fasting. But they wouldn't make it a requirement of the church. In other words, everyone wouldn't have to fast. It was for those that could fast. And it's some that fast more often than that for the church. And so in your personal life, it's according to what you're trying to accomplish, how you're trying to please God. That's why he says, so when you fast. So it's not something that's a given rule about having to fast or whatever. But Paul continuing on, he says, in weariness and painfulness and watchings often, and hunger and thirst. See, so sometime he was without food. Sometime, you remember he was shipwrecked. You remember they had been out there 2 weeks or whatever. See, sometime, as I told you, you just can't eat, something's disturbed. You got so often disturbed. But that's not necessarily fasting. You're just hungry. A lot of times you could be in hunger. You could not have food to eat. You might not feel like eating. But it's different. But he says, in hungers and in thirst, in fastings often. See, so he separated fastings and hunger. Because you can't just say, well, I'm going to fast because you don't have nothing to eat at home. Well, that's not necessary. That would be a forced fast. You don't have anything to eat it anyhow, so you're not giving up something. You don't have it to do. You know, so fasting was something that he set aside here differently. And fastings often because he had a lot on him, he says, in cold and in nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak and I'm not weak? Who is offended and I am, and I burn not? So, Paul here was saying that he fasted often. But you don't see him nowhere in here saying for us to fast, about fasting or whatever. It's kind of like sin when children come into the world. You don't have to teach them to lie or whatever. They don't lie. They will be bad. They will be doing things. It's part of nature. In other words, it's part of the human nature that we inherited from Adam. When we look at doing good, that's why Jesus said when we fast, because he knew that the Christian church, the disciples were going to fast when he was gone, because the bridegroom was there with them, so they couldn't fast while the bridegroom was there. But he said, come a time when the bridegroom is not with them, he said, they will fast, he says, and when you fast. So he knew this was going to be a part of it. But it wasn't listed as, he also said, when you pray. But also, you see, commandments, or we see that it's being told that we should pray. Whereas prayer is in combination with fasting. So that's why I say it's not just dieting or not eating. If you're fasting, that time is dedicated to God. It's trying to think or get close. It's purposely trying to afflict the flesh. He says, that's why he says, be afflicted and mourn. If you have it, something, he says, sometimes he tells us to be afflicted and mourn. Fasting was associated with affliction of the flesh. With being afflicted, that showed a state of being afflicted. The quality of a state of being penitent or sorry for your sins or your faults, as she was saying earlier, that it's a struggle, because a lot of times we study in God's Word, and when you're praying and fasting and struggling, the reason you're fasting and praying is because you've sinned again. You've walked into sin and sin keep coming there, and he knows you can do this thing, but you're sorrowful for doing it because you know that it caused him his life, that he hung on a tree, that he shed his blood. So you develop a hatred of sin just as God, as Jesus developed that. Just as much as God hates sin, you start to hate sin. And so that's why you see yourself how sinful you are. And that's why Paul said he began to say he was the chiefest of sinners. So in other words, it lowers you. You start seeing what a creature you are, what a person you are. That, see, that's humbling yourself. That's why it's attached to 2 Chronicles 7 and 14. If my people would humble themselves, okay, that humbling shows that, look, I'm not so righteous that I'm not going to be self-righteous because I see my sin. And I start looking at the Bible and I listen at the preacher a lot of times and he's telling me this. And now I see the sin and I'm doing it. I'm sorry for it. And it's a more and more humbling yourself. As life goes on, you keep humbling yourself. And that's the broken and contrite spirit. You're not hardy and high-minded or whatever. You humbling yourself, coming to God, and that's prayer and fasting is attached. Asking God, I can't do this. I keep trying. Every time I try, I fail. I keep trying. I don't, not every time, but a lot of times I'm trying to do good. And so you abstain away from the blood pleasures of this life. You didn't got away from television. You didn't got away from eating. You didn't got away from people. You all by yourself or whatever. You don't have to do like the monks and go to a monastery. But it's time to be alone with God. It's time. You're seeking God's face. That's our overall theme of the book we in, Zephaniah. Seek the Lord. Perhaps because it's not always answered in fasting. Now, you know, you don't always get the answer you're looking for. But fasting is showing that you're sorry and that you're penitent for what you're doing. And it could be some past sin for years and years ago. And you can see that you're being tortured by this. It has a guilt on your conscience. God needs to remove that condemnation of guilt. God needs to remove all those feelings and put you back in problem. So that's why you're seeking Him, because this is only something He can do. Time doesn't heal all wounds. God heals all wounds. By His stripes we were healed. So we need Him to heal these things that we keep talking about, the consciousness. I told my wife today, I was taking her to the doctor, and I said, honey, you know, even the jokes and the things we've heard over our lives, and that's it, that's hung up in our mind. We are wonderful and marvelously made, but things we've heard in the past of salt, we can't get that out of our mind, so it's there. So I'm saying that's a sinful thought for me to even have in my mind. I can't get it out of there. But only God can remove or wash, and His blood washes and cleanses. That's why we need the application of His blood. So fasting, that's why you say, I tell you, it brings you to a point of being sorrowful and mournful. That I'm going to give up this. I want to say, Lord, help me. I won't just put this aside. I can't do this. I got food in the refrigerator. Today my wife was offering me something, and I said, no. I said, no. And she said, well, I'm sorry. It's not that you don't have it. It's just to say, I have it, but I'm going to do without it. Because I want this time to get closer to you. I want this time. So we see in 1 Samuel 31 and 13 where they fasted and mourned for the dead. They were fasting. The people declared a fast and mourned for Saul and Jonathan when they were killed. When Jonathan and Saul were killed, they were, and the people that burned the bones with, they dug them up and moved the bones, but they were mourning and fasting for a period of time. In Nehemiah 9 and 1, and in Ezra 8:21 to 23, we see where both Ezra and Nehemiah asked the people, exhorted the people to fast. In Nehemiah, like I told you, preaching on the Saturday, that he was fasting for political reasons. He wanted God to strengthen him and to watch over him and guide and protect him because he was going back to build the gates of the city of Jerusalem. He was after captivity. You remember Ezra and Nehemiah was after captivity. And they were going back to rebuild the gates of Jerusalem and they was going to be against a whole lot of odds. A lot of people was going to stop them, try to stop them from building, and the highways was full of robbers and thieves and things. And so he asked the king for a retinue, he asked the king for a group of men to escort him back to keep him safe. And he says, it says, these are now, the, and that they prayed and fasted. Well, I wanted to read this portion out of Ezra. But they fasted and prayed. But listen here in Ezra, because Ezra was more or less a priest of God. He wanted, if you go back and take time and read the book of Ezra, because they say Ezra had prayed and fasted. He had committed so much of the word of God. This is just a legend. It's not, you know, it's tradition through the rabbis and things, so it's no proof that, but that the scriptures, a lot of this stuff had been lost, which is kind of credible in a way, because we know that the book of the law had been lost during the time of Josiah, and they found the book. Remember, they were rebuilding the temple, and they found the book. But they say Ezra, the priest, had rewrote a whole lot of the Old Testament from memory through the inspiration of the Word of God that he had wrote a whole lot. Ezra and Nehemiah was contemporaries. Ezra was going back, and he had a lot of problem out of the people, getting the people established. Tell me you don't have problems now out of people. I got 5, 6 children. And you're talking about a fistful of problems. You're talking about people in your neighborhood. I don't have as much problem with the people in my neighborhood right now, but as soon as I say that, it'll come out. You know, it goes in circuits. You know, sometimes God gives you times of peace. You have those valley and those mountaintop experiences over there. But see, we encompass just like they are with people against us, just against you. You got antagonists and people trying to get on your nerve just because you're a do-gooder. They don't like do-gooders. They don't like people that's trying to live the right way. And they just want somebody to bother. So it says, he look, 8th chapter of Ezra, 23rd, 1st verse. Then I proclaimed the fast at the river of Ahava, that we might afflict ourselves before our God, to seek of him a right way for us and for our little ones and for all our substance. For I was ashamed to require of the king a band of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy in the way, because we had spoken unto the king, saying, the hand of our God is upon all of them for good that seek him, but his power and his wrath is against all them that forsake him. So we fasted and besought our God for this, and he was entreated of us. So God did hear them. God came through for them. You know, it's a lot of times we tell people about God, and we're saying how powerful and strong our God is. Well, you don't want to do that and then turn around and say, loan me $20. You got something to, you know, asking or doing anything. See, sometimes you have to show yourself strong and independent upon God. And he said, well, he had told the king and had declared how strong and powerful, and he was serving a sovereign God, and that God would protect him. But can you send some men to help? But he was too ashamed to do that. You know, sometimes, and that's a good thing, that you don't want to bring shame, this a reproach on the name of God. That's why he penalized David, because he said he brought shame upon the name of God. You don't want to be out there doing things that would bring in a shame on the name of the body of Christ. You don't want to live in such a way that would be shameful for a child of God to live or do. They pray to God for intercession. I pray for my children all the time. I pray for the members of the church. Are y'all? And that's a lot of times we can fill up our prayer time during the time of fasting. Is interceding for others, because that's a time that you're not being self-centered. That's a time to reach out to God. Intercede. And that's a time that you can pray for your enemies. That strengthens you to pray for your enemies. You have to learn how to pray. In prayer and talking, a lot of things going on. The Attorney General's church had to reprimand him and say a whole lot. They had turned against him, and the head people in the Methodist denomination was saying this was anti-Christian. You remember I told you he had used the scripture the other week to justify what they would do, the government was doing, and the church, all the churches and things was coming out, and the people coming out, and the day the president himself rescinded that order. And I thank God that he did that. Rachel Maddow could even deliver her portion of the news about this. She broke down in tears, crying, and couldn't continue on. This is the number one anchor on cable television couldn't deliver this news about families being separated at the border. They take the child this way and the parent that way. You got 11 and 12 month old children crying, mama, daddy, and crying and screaming, and you dragging hundreds and thousands of children this way and the parents that way. In that church, he said, even though you're a Sunday school teacher and been in this church 30 or 40 years, however long it was, we have to denounce you unless you renounce what you're saying and doing, because you couldn't be a disciple of this church. Your actions are contrary to what you're doing. So that's why I said you can't quote and say the Bible without somebody realizing, hey, this is hypocrisy. We got a hypocrite among us. This is not right. See, that's what it takes coming out and be separate. You have to be strong. That's why it says you have to have spiritual strength. So when Christ fasted that 40 days, it gave him spiritual strength. So the devil says, command these stones be made bread. Well, if he was concerned for himself, he would have made food. He could have got food at any time. But he says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded. It wasn't the idea that he didn't have ability. This is the guy that multiplied the four fish and fed 20,000 people. That he on multiple occasions, he fed thousands. He could have fed himself. But it was about the word of God. There are some good physical benefits that result from fasting, but it should not be for a Christian's purpose. It should not be for the purpose of a Christian. Our purpose is to strengthen the spiritual man and weaken the outer man. That's why I said we're going to teach on self. It's to teach us self-control and self-discipline. In the book of Timothy, 1 Timothy 4, 6 through 10. On the other hand, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness, keeping yourself spiritually fit. For physical training is of some value, but godliness, spiritual training, is of value in everything and in every way, since it holds promise for the present life and for the life to come. This is a worthy, faithful, and trustworthy saying, worthy of full acceptance and approval. It is for this that we labor and strive, often called to account, because we have fixed our confident hope on the living God, who is the Savior of all people. So that's what we should be focused on. Our hope is in Jesus Christ or whatever. There are side effects to a fast. There are side effects. Any of y'all taking medicine, any medication, they list a list of side effects that medication has. So the medication is given to you for a specific benefit, but nausea, lightheadedness, different side effects are there. There are side effects to fasting, and some of benefit to the physical man. There are some physical benefits. Evolution is a slow and gradual process. Since the typical modern diet does not resemble the diets our people ate years and years ago, through the majority of history, our metabolisms are designed to work best on a feast or famine schedule. Our bodies store fat when food is plentiful. That's why it's not good to overeat, because the body stores that fat. And it burns it off in times of scarcity. So during the times of fasting, you're living off those fat reserves. All that stuff you didn't eat, your body didn't store it away. Your body is very smart. It knows that you have that feast or famine mentality, and it stores up fat because it knows she's on that cycle, he's on that cycle. He's going to eat a whole lot this evening or at lunchtime or whatever, but we're not going to have anything for breakfast. And that body puts a reserve there for the live off during those times. You don't want to get into that cycle. But what fasting does, though, it helps within that cycle, because fasting burns off the fat, those fat stores. Fasting helps burn those things off. And we retain that body fat and gain weight, but fasting helps us to lose that weight. Now, the object of fasting for a spiritual or Christian person shouldn't be weight loss. It should be strength and spiritual gain. But one of the better or good side effects is it helps you to lose weight. Now, you should do it right, because you don't want to eat a whole lot coming up to a fast. You don't want to eat a whole lot coming off of a fast. Fasting also helps your stomach to adjust to a smaller size, because you learn more proportionate eating. Because if you eat all the time or whatever, it's going to be pretty hard for you to fast. It's going to be hard. You're going to have to train your body into fasting. It's going to have to get used to fasting. You might just have to fast just during lunchtime or dinner time or breakfast time. And then learning to fast, maybe breakfast and lunch, and then dinner and lunch, you know, extend it over a period of time before you can do long fast, because your body just ain't going to go with those quims, and it has to be trained just like anything else. That's why over a period of time, if you start eating less, and you remember I tell you, that's why I don't go to buffets or whatever, because I couldn't get my money's worth anyhow, because I can't eat a whole lot at one time now. Because what your stomach do, it shrinks back down. It used to that capacity once you stop stretching it. So fasting, so most people, when Paul said he fast often, it was more easier for him to fast when he started getting used to doing these things. His body got into that method. Fasting reduces inflammation in your body. That's why the children of Israel, they did their feet didn't swell or whatever. Fasting has a way of reducing inflammation throughout parts of your body. That's one of the side effects. That shouldn't be the major reason we fast. But people that fast, and I tell you, there's different types of fast people go on. Juice fast, different fasts, whatever. Fasting is a way to cleanse your body. It cleans out all of the toxins out of your body or whatever. You will get a better heart rate. You will get better sleeping and everything. Fasting does all those things to you. It speeds up the metabolism. It is metabolism. And like I say, what society has done, they went into that and looking at these. And so that's why you hear a lot of people in the churches, a lot of people all over the place, and a lot of commercial things, and people selling the Ezekiel diet, the Ezekiel fast, the Daniel fast, and talking about all these. They've commercialized it just like they did Christmas with Jesus saying his birthday, and they making money off of it or whatever. But the true thing is, fasting does help, but like I say, you got more gospel Christian singers out there now because it's money-making. It's not that it's spiritual music. It's anything but spiritual. It gets you farther away. So remember, when fasting, the focus is not on a better body. The focus is not on the body. But it helps the body. And Paul did tell Timothy that bodily exercise profited a little. It didn't say it didn't profit, but it profited a little. And our bodies are not our bodies, so we need to take care of our bodies. It reduces blood pressure. Fasting helps reduce blood pressure. So if you get into into pleasing God and everything, see, a lot of these things, you see where it brings you into alignment. And, you know, if you're fasting and looking to God, the more you do it, the better health you have, right? The more you see God. See, so you're not doing this for better health, but one of the side effects is that all this time you're becoming better, you're getting closer to God and everything, but you're gaining more strength serving God. See, that's why I was saying that I see some people accomplishing things, because they will have to lose the lifestyle they have in that mind that's in them, that's in Christ, that it's going to change their lifestyle. It lowers the risk of diabetes, type 2 diabetes. And you've heard on television about the risk of type 2 diabetes, and that some people are diabetic. Or he was talking to my wife today about her A1C level or whatever it is, because it's down. He may not have to add. She was taking metformin and some other things along with her insulin. They say he may not have to add that back or whatever. See, because if her body gets used to being at the pressure it is, at the sugar level it is, and then she, the diet is becoming more healthy. She's not eating the rices and the breads and the potatoes and things. And she's taking the medication, and she's, but the main thing is coming to church and looking toward God. But along with that, just like when Solomon prayed to God for wisdom, well, along with that wisdom came wealth and many other things. So this comes along with it because it takes faith to do that. So you won't, not looking to be detrimental to your body. You're not trying to abuse your body. Don't do anything to abuse your body. Your body's not yours, as I told you. So we can't join into harlots. We can't, you know, Martin Luther, who was the leader, that's where the Lutheran church came from. But he used to abuse his body. You know, he would believe in torturing himself almost. But it's not to the point of physical torture in that. He's, when he says afflict, that affliction is in fasting. If you notice whether you use the word afflict a lot of times in the Old Testament, it's fasting. That's why it says be afflicted. But when it's self-damaging, which the Gnostics used to talk about the body or whatever, and they was fighting against a lot of Gnostic teaching. But we saw in Matthew 17 and 15 where this guy that was a lunatic, but they don't use the word lunatic anymore because he was affected by the moon or whatever, but they said he has a demon. He was demonic or whatever, and he said he would cast himself into the fire and he suffered so terribly, you know, fall often into water and thing. And that's the one Jesus healed. That's the one Jesus cast the devil out. He says, this kind only goeth about by prayer and fasting. So you having suicidal tendencies, if you abusing yourself with drugs, if you have sexual immorality, all of these things, you know, people cut themselves that are anorexic or bulimic or whatever. These things could go about by prayer and fasting. The church has the priests and things used to try to exercise these things out. But these things come about by getting stronger spiritually. That's why you can overcome a lot of sickness and things by the word of God. That's why it says by his stripes we are healed. Because he took our infirmities on us. So if we're followers of Christ, have that same mind, that's why he's seen some people and said that they had faith to be healed. Because what? They started leaving the behavior that was causing the sickness behind. Now, they related the sicknesses and things to people because they say, well, who had sinned? This man or his parents, the reason he was born blind. He said, well, no, it wasn't. Either one of them had to sin. This was to glorify God. Well, just think of how much glory you can bring to God in whatever ailment of sickness you have. Glorify God, to get up out of a chair and walk, to overcome cancer. All these are testimonies. When people are healed, you notice that the church or something takes great pride in that because they say, a miracle, God did this. It glorifies God. God's in your corner now. With enough faith, it's not impossible. Nothing shall be impossible to you. But it takes a good bit of faith, though. You have to be strengthened spiritually. And it's going to be a fight because the devil don't want to glorify God. You know, the more you try to get closer to God, it's a struggle. You're going to struggle with sin. Sin is there. And it's like crabs in a barrel that's going to try to hold you back. That's why fasting afflicts the body. It's an affliction that Satan don't want you. He wants you living in pleasure to be comfortable. Unless he wants to torture you and suffer. But see, God's the only one can parse that out, divide what goes where. I think I've went on and on enough tonight, and I've messed this up. I don't think my recorder's been recording. I think it stopped on me, and my phone recorder stopped it. I thought I had a pretty good teaching going on tonight. But in fasting, let me say this before I quit. It's your motivation. What's motivating you to fast? for what reason are you fasting? And I think that was about Nehemiah last week. I said, for what purpose are you fasting? What's your purpose? What's your reason? Is it physical? Or is it spiritual? Is it closer contact with God? So what's motivating? What's the intent of your fast? It's always connected with prayer. It's not a mortification of the flesh, but it's you learn self-discipline from it, but it's not to stop eating, because I tell my wife and I tell other people, that's a sign of an unhealthy body if you're not eating. You can't stay healthy without eating. Doctors worry about it, and that's one thing with older people, they worry about it if you're not eating. That's why you have Boost and Glucerna and all those other things. You don't feel like cooking or something. They say, well, look, at least drink this. That has the nutrition and thing in it. That's why Smoothie King and all these places are making money, because if you don't want to eat or whatever, drink this. It tastes good and it has all these nutrients and things in it. It's just like eating a full meal. Because the body is made in such a way that it needs replenishing. It needs strengthening. A weak person, a person with infirmities and sicknesses and can't make it, you will be a drag to everybody else around. You will have people pitying you that shouldn't be pitying you. But if you're strong and resilient, you'll be example to others. People are wondering and wonder about the God you're serving. And that's what we want to be, is a witness for God. We want to be a witness to God. So we have to keep our focus on Him doing fasting and centered in Him. I'm going to end this tonight. I'm very kind of upset with myself, because I was the one who cut this off when we first started to say something else or do something. And now I only have 16 minutes of this on fasting. And I think this is one of the better of the teachings on it. And we're about to leave fasting. This is our last lesson on fasting for a while. We may come back to it at some other time. The last thing I want to say is, do you understand that it's pride within us that wants to be God? It loves being praised and being coddled. It quickly puffs us up with angry judgment over real or perceived wrongs of others while being oblivious to its own. It's almost like a living, breathing something, a form within us unlike that any other creature. It can't be fed, it can be starved. When fed, it grows. When it is starved, it diminishes and dies. So, some of the advocates of what was going on, I don't know where they're going to say now since the president has changed his mind, but they were going and they approved of it. They said that we should do this and this was the only way. Now that he's reversed course on it, we'll see where their pride leads them to. Because I think it was a prideful statement to say the only way that we can be great again, the only way that we could be strong again, the only way we could be an admired nation, all these was physical, prideful things, a lust of the flesh, that all those things that the people wanted to be or become was at the behest of hurting others. It was separating families. It was hurtful and harmful. They say a lot of the children will have repercussion for years to come. When you separate families, you and tearing up homes, you're transgressing God there. See, that's why it says pray for your enemies, because even a thief, the Bible says, will steal when he's hungry. These people are being persecuted in their own countries and things. People wouldn't travel hundreds of miles and thousands of miles to go somewhere to be turned around or be separated without hope that God's going to make a way that they will make it to the land of the free. We should be that beacon that we say we are, land of the free. But we should be brave and trust enough in God that God's going to make a way for us without us trying. transgressing his word. Even though they quoted scripture about obeying the government is there to do good. They pulled away from the United Nations, the Council on Human Advocacy, the thing about human rights and things, they pull out of that. But see, what's motivating is wealth. What's motivating is being great. Those can't be motivations. And if we're good, if we're praying, and if we're following God, we know that God's going to overcome. God always overcomes. He's going to make a way. So we don't turn to do evil. We can't do evil that good may come from it. That can't be our base. So fasting puts self off the throne. It knocks pride down. And it's not making us an enabler of the flesh rising up. It's keeping God, it's trusting in God to keep America safe. It's trusting God and to keep our shores free. It's trusting in God to make a way even with the illegal immigrants that come. It's trusting in God to do all these things. So if you've lost America, the reason it is lost, check that out. What's the consequences? Are these consequences that we're coming into, the reason it's being lost, are they for past sins and transgressions? Maybe we should look closer up to what those transgressions are before we add more on. It says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? It says, God forbid. So we have to start looking for the devil within. The devil without, we know who he is, but it's the devil that within, we should all not strengthen him. The more Jesus Christ increases in our lives, the less we are. John said, he must increase and I must decrease. We have to knock self off.